In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this evening, and we'll be looking at the first 12 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them so murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Shall we pray, loving Father, that you may bless not only the reading of your word, but the ministry of it to our hearts as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look at this passage, we see there is much here that we can draw from as the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the inspiration of God and the recording of the Old Testament record is given as an example to us, lest we fall to some of the same temptations that they fell to. And I think it is important that we do see that we are no different than they. We sometimes look at the Old Testament and we think, well, it is so far removed from us. We sometimes think that we would never sin the sins that they sinned. We sometimes think that some of the things that they did were so astonishing against the Lord that truly we would never fall to such a low degree. But we find that the fallen human nature is such that it is capable of falling to any degree, and we must guard against it at all times. And even though we do guard against it, we find that we still are subject to temptations, and that we need to watch and pray much concerning being tempted. And so let us look at some of these areas here that he mentions this evening. They are negative examples, if you will, as we look at them, so that the Corinthians might not think God's discipline would be an unlikely eventuality for the people in their day. They thought that perhaps God would not somehow call upon them to be judged for the sins that they do. But we're reminded that the Lord is long-suffering, yet he holds us accountable. In verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Well, the method which God did deliver them from the Egyptians took them through the cloud and the sea, as it were. Truly God did raise up a deliverer, Moses, And we find through much trial and tribulation, they were delivered out of the hand of Pharaoh, and that God in his presence did lead them, that he might be among them a pillar of cloud during the day, a pillar of fire at night. And we note also that they went through the great waters of the Red Sea, and that they were baptized unto Moses in these things. Well, Moses is in a sense a type of Christ, in that he became the deliverer that God had called for his people. A deliverance out of bondage and out of the sin of which they had found themselves, living in a country of idolatry, a country that was not their own. It was not the promised land. It was not where they were supposed to dwell. It was a foreign land to them, and that they were called out of such a place unto the Lord, unto God. We also are called out of sin unto the Lord. We also are called out of the idolatries of our own heart unto the Lord. We also, by God's very own presence, delivers us from ourselves and plants our feet upon a solid rock, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would be reminded of that, and need to be reminded of that. It is the old story of Jesus and his love that we continue to rehearse upon our hearts, and it is something that we constantly need to be reminded of, the salvation that is in our God. And so we find that Paul would remind them about that. He is very much a loving servant, an apostle, to remind them, for he calls them brethren, not unlike himself, one among them, even as we are among one another, that we know these things to be self-evident and true, that God has saved us out of darkness and called us into his marvelous light, and that it is by his grace and mercies alone that we stand with him. And so they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. God led them. God covered them with his protective graces. God ministered to them. God drew them out and became a great salvation unto them, even in the midst of a most terrible moment, when they thought surely the enemy was upon them. And yet God parted the great waters of the sea, and they walked over on dry land, as it were. And then God closed the mouth of the great sea and destroyed the Egyptians as they followed them. God's deliverance of us is truly an astonishing event that takes place. It is supernatural. It is the work of grace by faith. And so God does this great work. He goes on to say in verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, as much as God provided for them in that deliverance. God also provided them for their spiritual food, and we all remember the manna which was given unto them in the wilderness, and how that God provided for them, and that they could gather it together, and they could make their bread, and they could eat and be satisfied. It was as much a spiritual food as it was a literal food, because God himself was the provider of those things. and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I cannot help but think how wonderfully Paul makes this analogy come to life by bringing in the Lord Jesus Christ and by saying to us that Jesus was in the wilderness with God's people, even though that was long before the coming of Christ by the incarnation. Yet Christ was there, and it is a testimony to us of the Trinity, of the Godhead, the triunity of the Godhead, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it is a testimony to us of the salvation that we have through Christ. And it is also a spiritual truth that we hold dear to, that we might realize that Christ is our spiritual drink. Yes, they drank from the waters which God poured forth for them. They ate from the manna in the wilderness which God rained upon them. And they were sustained by the spiritual meat or spiritual food which God brought to them. And we find that Christ became their foundation stone. Even as Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16 records for us, that he is a precious and a tried stone, a precious cornerstone unto the people of God. And that we should well remember these things. Verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So as much as Paul lays down these wonderful truths wherein God brought them out and gave them deliverance and fed them and blessed them and sustained them and kept them a people unto Christ, unto God, through Christ, we find that yet they did sin against God, nonetheless. And herein we are reminded of the nature within man, that it can forget somehow the blessings that God gives. But somehow we are short-sighted when it comes to those things which God does for us, that we soon forget, and that we have to be very much reminded. For he says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, that he was grieved in his heart because of the sins of the people of God in the wilderness. For they were overthrown in the wilderness, he says, and we know of that overthrowing in the wilderness, and how that even though they had the privilege of those things that God gave unto them, yet we find that they seemed to wander, as it were, away. The presence of these supernatural privileges in the lives of the Old Testament Israelites did not produce automatic success. And I think that's something that we probably need to remind ourselves of. Just because we are Christians, just because God has opened our hearts and minds to him and has enlightened us to the scriptures and brought us into the family of God, it does not automatically mean that we will always do what is right. We sometimes do not do those things, as we remember that only Joshua and Caleb actually proved themselves faithful. That the rest of them died off in the wilderness and were somehow disqualified from entering into the promised land, and another generation had to be raised up to go into the promised land. And so it is that God does call a people unto himself. Many times the chastening hand of the Lord goes against them because of their own shortcomings. and that he has to call up other people to continue the work or to fulfill his great plan for the people of God. In verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after the things as they also lusted. And so here it is. Here is the exhortation and the application kind of compacted into this sentence that he gives here. That these very things that we are talking about this evening and are written for us are examples. And that these examples serve to remind us that we should not lust after evil things as they did in the wilderness. And as has been said, the very fact that Paul is bringing this up at all is a reminder that we are no different than they are. And so let us keep faith. Let us struggle with our difficulties and our temptations and rely upon the Lord and continue to call upon Him to fortify us against those things that could very easily derail us altogether, as the Israelites were derailed from entering into the promised land. Now, what was the promised land? It not only was the land that God had promised to them, but it was supposed to be a place of safety for the people of God. It was supposed to be a place of rest for the people of God. It was supposed to be a place of blessing for the people of God. It was supposed to be all those things that related to God's promise to His people, and that they would inhabit the land, and that it would be truly a fulfillment of the covenant blessing unto the people of God. But one whole generation, that whole generation which came out of the wilderness, did not enter in. Another generation had to come along. Does it mean that we will repeat the same mistakes they did? Not necessarily. But it does serve us well to remember that these things took place. It did not turn away God from His will to accomplish His purpose through His people. It did not change God's mind. God is immutable in those things. It did not overthrow the will of God. God remains sovereign to accomplish His purposes. It does not in any way say that God's plan of redemption was somehow insufficient or that it was somehow flawed or something like that. No. Man is has a fallen nature. And given that fallen nature, we sometimes are tripped up, as it were, on our own sins. And we find that these who were in the wilderness, who were on their way to Canaan, needed to learn much. And so God used them to teach us something. And we find that in Christ we would find the fullness of our redemption, and that in Christ we would find the fullness of God's promises. We find that in Christ we would find not only the salvation of God to its full glorification, but God would fulfill His word through the promised Messiah to come. And so He did come in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, that He came into the world, the Son of God, to save His people from their sins. He did go to the cross and fulfill the complete type which was set forward for Him to do, that He might redeem all those who would be known as His people. And that redemption would not rely upon the people. That is, it is not the purpose of God to fulfill the redemption because of who we are. No, it was the purpose of God to fulfill redemption based upon who His Son was. The innocent, true Savior of the world, the one who was without sin and without transgression, the one who came to die for our sins according to the Scriptures. Yet these examples remain the same to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. In verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Well, we know what happened when Moses went up on the mountain, upon Sinai, to receive the commandments of God, that the Israelites very quickly employed Aaron to make them a golden calf, and they fell back to idolatry. And then as soon as they had eaten and drunken, they went to play. That is, they became riotous and in their own temptations. They fell to their own lusts and desires. And we find that when Moses came down, he was very much disturbed over what they were doing. And he threw those tablets down and broke them, as it were, in his anger. Yet we find that God would remain true to his word, even though the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, showing their fallen nature and the sin which was yet in their hearts. In verse 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,000 and 20,000. And so we find this third failure that he mentions here in the area of sexual immorality, in the case of the Israelites, associated with idolatries, and which characterized the pagan worships of the day. Immoralities characterized the pagan worship. That's how they worshiped. That was part of their whole system of things. But we find that God did not mean for his people to enter into those things. In Numbers 25, verse 4 through 9, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor," Baal worship. "And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 20,000 and 4,000. And so it is, God did judge his people for their sins of immorality and their sins of idolatry. In verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. And here we should be reminded that Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers. And were there such temptations in the first century? Yes, there were. There was much idolatry going on in the various pagan temples. There was much sins of immorality which were going on in the pagan temples. And that this became a warning unto the Corinthian believers that they should not enter into any of these things. I think many people are following idolatry today, and perhaps they're not even aware. They call it some kind of a philosophy, perhaps, or they call it some kind of a religion. But I find more and more people are doing the Buddhist signs today. And they lift up their hands as if to pray, only they are bringing them together in front of them when they greet people. And that is what the Buddhists do, and that is part of the Buddhism and the philosophy of people. And we find that Buddhism is one of those religions of idolatry which is growing today in Middle Eastern religion. And of course, many of these foreign nations today, India is full of idolatries. Japan is full of idolatries. There is plenty of idolatries in Indonesia and many of the eastern countries. We find that these idolatries, out-and-out idolatries, are very much a part of people's lives. And is it coming into the United States? Yes, it is. Yoga is part of the idolatries of India, part of the Eastern religions and philosophies and disciplines of India, and many people are entering into these kinds of things. And yes, there is much of it that goes around. And are some churches doing it? Yes, they even call it Christian yoga, which is a paradox to call it such. And it is completely wrong. There is no such thing as Christian yoga. There is no such thing as Chrislam when one is involved in the Islamic beliefs and think that it can somehow merge with Christianity. There is no such thing. That people do it, but it is a false religion. It is idolatries. It is part of what is going on in today's society. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must keep our belief pure and without sin and without temptations. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. So who were they were tempted? They were tempting God and their idea of God, their knowledge of God, as Moses knew God, as Aaron knew God. Who were they tempting? They were tempting God, the Lord God, Yahweh. They were tempting God. And Paul says here, it is the same as Christ to tempt God. It is the same as Christ. He said, neither let us tempt Christ. As some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. And we know that particular incident when they did fall to temptations, many of them were destroyed. And they were killed by snakes. In Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 6, it says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And so they murmured against God. And in their murmuring against God, God judged them because of that. And then we find that, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And even we find in the New Testament that says, even as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, uses the same phrase referring to the same incident, so must the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up. And we find that when we look upon Christ, when we see him, when we believe in Christ as our Redeemer and Deliverer from sin unto salvation, we find that in Christ is our redemption. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Two verses in closing. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. In the first century church, Paul was writing to a group of people during the church age, and he says, for whom the ends of the world have come. we realize that we live in a time before the coming of the Lord Jesus, a time when the church is that example to the world of salt and light and of Christ and of salvation and the hope of eternal life. And we are to offer that to the world. And if we cannot keep ourselves from the lustful desires and the temptations which overtook some of them in the wilderness, we will not be a part of that group of people as we ought to be, who carry the light to the world. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. And so this last statement that he makes, of course, is a somber, solemn one, but it also reminds us that we cannot take anything for granted. We cannot take anything for granted. We must remember all that Christ has revealed to us. We must hold all that Christ has spoken in his word dear. We must remember the new covenant in his blood. It is not the old covenant, it is the new covenant in his blood. It is the New Testament in his blood. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ according to the scripture. It is that we are saved by grace and not of ourselves. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And so in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and Titus 3, 5, and 6, we find the companion verses which tell us that we must constantly watch and be ready, for Christ himself has given to us his mercies, his long-sufferingness, his tender mercies, his grace, withholding judgment that should be ours, because Christ has taken it upon himself. And that we should remember all these things, lest we fall. Because what happened to those in the wilderness was that they were lifted up in their own pride, in their own arrogance, in their own sin. They were tempted and they fell to it, ignoring the word of God as it was given unto them. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. We are baptized unto Jesus Christ, and our baptism is in Christ and Christ alone, by grace and through faith. It is a wonderful and marvelous baptism, and we must reflect upon it much. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we do thank you for your words to us, and ask, God, that you will be merciful unto us, and that you will, in loving kindness and tender mercies, draw us close to you, Lord, and that we might draw close to you, and as we do, that we may be refreshed and be at peace with you, Lord, and live in the victory that we have in Christ, not in ourselves, but because we know that there is no good thing in us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.